Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
Tonight I want to talk to you about, and before you jump to too many conclusions, I want to talk to you about the title of the message, The Truth About You Is. And I didn't put a question mark on that because for some of you, the truth about you is maybe a question. And maybe you're waiting for other people to answer that question. Maybe the truth about you is a statement. And then you put a dot, dot, dot at the end of that. But the reality of that statement or that question probably is the conclusion of it depends a lot about and on where you've been and what you've been going through. The truth about you is, and the truth about you today might be different than the truth about you yesterday or the day before. A lot of it has to do with what is filtered in and what comes in and then what goes out. Let me read something to you. It's not on your outline, but I want to read something to you in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 because it's going to be helpful for me to read this to you and then tell you what I'm going to try to unpack. And I'm going to do the best that I can with the limited words that I have left to try to unpack this for you. So in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, Paul is speaking here, and at the end of chapter 5, he's talking about what he calls his final instructions. And in verse 16, he says this. He says, be joyful always. Not sure exactly what that means. Does that mean 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? Does that mean when you're going through horrible things? I don't know. Be joyful always, pray continually. Does that mean we got to pray 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? I don't know. Be joyful always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances. Not for everything, but in all circumstances. So give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ. So it's God's will that we be joyful always, that we pray continually, and that we give thanks in all circumstances. Then he goes on to say this in verse 19. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to the good and avoid every kind of evil. And then verse 23, and I'm going to try to explain this a bit as we get going. Verse 23 says this, may God himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, say spirit, soul, say soul, and body, say body. So may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So the fact of the matter is, we are a three-part being. We are a body, we are a soul, and we are a spirit. And there is a constant desire by God for us to focus and to pay attention on all three aspects of our life, our body. We have to pay attention to our body. If we do not pay attention to this body, it will break down. Is that true? If we don't pay attention, things are going to happen to this body. We need to pay attention to our body, our spirit. That part of our being that came alive when we gave our hearts to Christ, we have to pay attention to our spirit. We need to be filling our spirit. We need to be ministering to our spirit. But our soul, our mind, our emotions, and our will, that's a very real part of our being, our soul. And tonight I want to talk to you probably through the lenses of what I would call the soul, which is your mind, your emotions, and your will. And through the lenses of our soul, discover the truth about you. What is the truth about you in the arena of your soul, in your mind, your emotions, and your will? So I'm going to pray, and I'm going to ask the Lord just to bring revelation to us tonight about what he wants to say to us. So Father, tonight, I pray for revelation to come from your word. I pray for inspiration. Lord, your desire is that our whole body, soul, and spirit be presented blameless at the coming of the Lord. So, Father, would you help us to confront the truth about us, whatever that might be, whatever that looks like. And, Lord, through that, bring revelation in Jesus' name. Amen. Probably 8 times a year, maybe 6, somewhere between 6 and 8 times a year, I get to teach at YWAM. And part of the way through the week, and it's usually on Wednesdays, so it was today, one of the things that I try to weave into the teaching, which is a week on the character of God. And the whole idea behind a week on the character of God is that we would go into the scriptures, then we would identify characteristics about God that we would embrace as believers, and we would challenge ourselves to begin to walk those things out so that in life we can become more and more like Christ. God has called us to be His ambassadors, as though He's appealing to the world through us, so He's called us to represent Him well. So one of the things that I find myself doing every single DTS is pausing on Wednesday to shift slightly. And the shift slightly is to slow down long enough to pay attention to our soul. Slow down long enough to pay attention to our mind, our emotions, and our will. Because I can tell you this for sure. If you come to church and you only focus on your spirit man, and you only focus on that part of your being, and you ignore your soul, you will become dysfunctional as a follower of Jesus Christ. You will become dysfunctional because you've got a mind, an emotion, and will that has to be paid attention to. And the truth about you may be different than you think it is if you pay attention to your soul. Having said that, here's what I do on Wednesdays. On Wednesdays, 6 or 8 times a year at YWAM, I share my testimony, and I weave my testimony into this teaching that the Lord gave me several years ago, and I refer to it now. I've shortened it, and those that know that I teach it over and over and over, I just call it monsters. So I say to myself on Wednesdays, which is day 3 of the teaching, I just call it monsters. But the whole title would be Monsters Live in the Dark. And I take about an hour and a half to challenge young people to understand that what I mean by monsters live in the dark is that there's a part of our being called our soul that if we don't pay attention to it, things that have happened to us over our lifetime begin to affect us in dramatic ways. And I saw it again today, and I see it for myself over and over and over when I share this teaching. When I remind myself of my testimony and what God has done in my life, I'm reminded of how faithful God has been. So as I'm teaching this morning to students, and I'm talking about monsters that live in the dark, all of a sudden I'm starting to see things break down in their wrong thinking. I'm starting to see things break down in their wrong thinking and them embrace things that have controlled their lives, all of their lives. And when I say all of their lives, some of them are 17, 18, 19, and 20 years old. And so the truth about them for years and years and years have been things that people have said about them that are not necessarily true, but things that have shaped their thinking. So what I want to do tonight is I want us to look at Peter. And I want us to look at Peter's life, and I want us to look at some things that really shaped Peter's life that brought him face to face with the truth about him. And I want to start by looking at Romans chapter 12, and I want to read this to you. Romans chapter 12, verses 1 through 3. Paul's saying this, and he says, "Because of the privilege and the authority that God has given to me, I give each of you this warning." So this is a warning from Paul. "I give each of you this warning. Do not think you are better than yourselves, better than you really are. Be honest in your evaluation of yourselves, measuring yourselves by your faith or the faith that God has given to you." So when you think about this statement, "The truth about you is," what would you write? What would you write? If you were honest with yourself, and you just wrote down the first thing that came to your mind, "The truth about you is," what would be the first thing, three things that you would write down? Maybe you want to write them down. How would you write them down, and what would you write down? "The truth about you is, I'm not as good a dad as I think I should be. I'm not as good a mom as I think I should be. I'm a great person. I'm a bad person." What would be the things that you would write down? Would they be mostly negative, or would they be mostly positive? Because what you think about you directly and profoundly shapes who you are today and how you're living your life today. If you think lousy things about yourself, then that's how you're going to live. So the truth about you is often what you say about yourself and what you think about yourself. I was thinking about this today, and I was trying to be honest with myself. Much of what shapes who we are is what other people say about us. Isn't that true? The truth about you is, when you finish that statement, what do the majority of people say about you? When I was thinking about myself, and I'm just trying to be honest with you, if I would think about the truth about me based on what other people say about me, I would get a big head. And here's why I'm saying that to you. Most of what people say to me are kind things. Most of what people say to me are things that build me up and things that lift me up and things that encourage me. That can be super beneficial. That can be super helpful as long as I pay attention to the things that are true about me that are maybe not necessarily positive. And I want us to look at the life of Peter, and I want to try to explain this to you as we look at the life of Peter, because I think when we get to Peter's life after he denied Christ, there's something very profound that happens in his life when he's out fishing. When he's out fishing, something very profound happens to his life, and I think a lot of it goes back to the truth about him was, and a lot of it had to do with what he thought about himself and what others said about him. So, don't think more highly of yourself than you ought, Paul warns us. So, the truth about you is you don't always know the truth about you. The truth about you is you don't always know the truth about you. If you have somebody telling you over and over and over and over and over how good you are and how great you are and how accomplished you are and how successful you are, and all of that is true, 90% of that is true, what about the other 10% of truth about you? For some of you, the 90% might be all negative and 10% may be true, maybe positive truth. For some of you, 90% might be positive truth and 10% may be negative truth. I wonder about Peter and I wonder about myself. I wonder what it is that shapes the truth about me. So let's go through this and let me give you point number one, and then let me read something to you about Peter and where Peter finds himself at a very crucial time in life. The truth about you is, and I want you to write this in, you often miss the obvious when you're struggling or in a battle. I believe that God is very intentional about desiring our soul to be healthy. So God is going to put us in situations where we are going to discover the truth about our lives. He's going to put us in situations or circumstances where we're going to be able to identify the truth. And sometimes it's going to be challenging. Sometimes it's going to be in the midst of a battle. So I want to read John chapter 21, verses 4 through 9. In this setting, John chapter 21, verses 4 through 9, Peter finds himself in a boat, and he finds himself fishing. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach. So Jesus has died, and he's been resurrected, and he spent probably 30 to 35 days with his disciples. And this is the setting. So some of the disciples have seen Jesus. They've been face to face with Jesus. Others have heard that he's back. Others have heard that he's rose from the dead. Others have heard others say that he's rose from the dead. Not all have seen him, but here's the setting. At dawn, Jesus was standing on the beach, but his disciples couldn't see who he was. He called out, "Fellows, have you caught any fish?" "No," they replied. Then he said, "Throw out your net to the right-hand side of the boat, and you'll get some." So they did, and they couldn't haul in the net because there were so many fish in it. Then the disciple Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." Let me just stop for just a second right there. It is the Lord. Why did John, so the disciple that Jesus loved was John, why did John have to tell Peter that that was Jesus? And we have to speculate here a little. Was he telling him that it was Jesus because he was down and he was hauling the net in that was full of fish? Was he telling him that it was Jesus because he was so out of sorts that he didn't even recognize that it was Jesus? We can speculate a lot there, but let me continue on. It is the Lord. When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic. We laughed a little bit about this at work today, for he had stripped for work. Not sure exactly what that means. Not sure if you stripped for work. Not sure exactly what the Bible means by that. Maybe it was warm out. Maybe he was working in his... Anyway, the Bible says, when Simon Peter heard it, that it was the Lord, he put on his tunic, for he was stripped for work. He jumped into the water and he headed to the shore. The others stayed with the boat and pulled the loaded net to the shore, for they were only about 100 yards from the shore. When they got there, they found breakfast waiting for them, fish cooking over the charcoal with some fire and some bread. So here's the picture. Peter is in the boat. Jesus is on the shore. He's made them breakfast. He calls out to them. Does Peter recognize his voice? Does he understand who it is? I'm not sure if he does or not. But here's what I think the boat represented for Peter. Why did Peter, first of all, go back to fishing after he had been through one of the most difficult times of his life? He had denied Jesus. He had denied Jesus, and he's having to come face to face with the truth about who he was. All the way through the life of Peter and the ministry of Jesus, for the 3 years that Jesus was with Peter, he was very intentional about telling Peter the truth about who he was. And oftentimes it wasn't flattering. You know, we have to be cautious about the things that we hear over and over and over that may flatter us, because there's probably a 10% of truth somewhere that isn't flattering about the truth about who we are that's going to be the thing that's going to cause us to swim towards Jesus. So here's what I think about when I think about Peter in this boat. I ask myself, and I ponder many things and asking myself many questions about Peter in this situation. So the scene is this. He's denied Jesus. Jesus has resurrected from the dead. He's been around for 40 days. We don't know for sure if he has seen him face to face. But how many of you think Peter was probably struggling? Jesus had said, Peter, you're going to deny me. You're going to, no way, Jesus, no way, no way, no way, no way. I love you. I'm loyal to you. You can count on me. You can count on me, Jesus, to follow you all of my life. Have you committed to that? Have you committed to, once you gave your heart to Christ, Lord, you can count on me following you faithfully all the days of my life? I've made that commitment. You have made that commitment. You wouldn't be here if you didn't make that commitment. But Peter finds himself having probably disappointed Jesus at a higher level than he could have even imagined. And right away we find that he went back to fishing. And so here's what I find myself asking with this text when I read it. Why did he go back to fishing? Was fishing for him the past, so he went back to it? I don't know that I have an answer for all of these things, but I just want you to think about this for a minute, because we're going to discover the truth about Peter in a brilliant way that Jesus pointed it out. Why did he go back to the boat? Did he go back to fishing because it was familiar? Did he, when he started to discover some truth about himself, go back to the old ways? How many of us, when we find out disappointing things about ourselves, or when we find that we've disappointed ourselves, we find ourselves going back to the way that we used to do things? So did the boat represent that? Did fishing represent that for Peter? Did he miss it? Did he just miss the old ways and he wanted to go back? Did it represent his past? I don't know. I don't know the answer to all of those questions, but I know this. When Peter heard the voice of Jesus, when he knew clearly, when John said, it is Jesus, he jumped from his boat and he swam back to Jesus. I believe that that boat represented safety, it represented security, it represented what he was comfortable with, but all the way through the life of Peter, Jesus was teaching him some profound things that I believe allowed him to take this jump at this moment. So what we're doing is we're looking at this story in John chapter 20, but we're going to go back and learn the truth about Peter through the eyes of Jesus. And it all had to do with Jesus preparing Peter for the future. So number one, the truth about you, we often miss the obvious when we're struggling or in a battle. It was obvious to John that that was Jesus. And John said, Peter, that's Jesus. Once John said that, he jumped from the boat and he began to struggle. I would imagine that Peter was in the boat struggling with great difficulty. Number two is this. Number two, the truth about you is your trust needs to be tested. The truth about you is, if you want to know the truth about you, your trust is going to have to be tested. Now what we're going to do is we're going to look at the life of Peter when he was walking with Jesus and how Jesus was very intentional about revealing the truth about who Peter really was. So in Matthew chapter 14, the Bible says this in verse 25 through 28. About 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them. So this is the middle of the ministry of Jesus, probably 2 years into the ministry of Jesus. When the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. In their fear, they cried out, "It is a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. "Don't be afraid," he said. "Take courage, I am here." Then Peter called to him, "Lord, if it is really you, tell me to come to you walking on the water." the water. The truth about you is that your trust needs to be tested. In order for you to know the real you, your trust has to be tested. So God will put you in situations where your trust will be tested. What will you do when your trust is tested? Will you stay in the boat that provides safety, security, familiarity, or will you jump from the boat and swim toward Jesus? That something came over Peter, even after his denial of Jesus, something came over Peter that compelled him to jump out of the boat to swim towards Jesus. And I think part of it were the tests that Jesus put Peter through when they did life together. And one of those was the trust test. If you want to know the truth about you, your trust will have to be tested. Your trust in the Lord, your trust in being able to know that He's in control and He'll lead you where He said He'll lead you. He'll guide you and He'll protect you. It was tested with Peter. It will be tested with you. The truth about you is it has to be tested. I saw today in talking to some of the students, those students see some things that were true about themselves that people had said for years and years and years, but were not true about how Jesus saw them. And I begin to see some crumbling, if you will, of some wrong thinking. And so what I saw God doing and what I see God doing in my life and in our lives all the time is strategically bringing us to places in our life where we'll come face to face with the truth about us. We live in a world today that is not so concerned about truth-telling, but about peace-keeping. And God wants us to be confronted with the truth. What God was doing, what Jesus was doing in the life of Peter, is He was trying to teach him the truth about who he was so that when he came face-to-face with the most difficult things he had to do, he would be able to go through them. So number two, the truth about you is your trust needs to be tested. Number three, the truth about you is truth that hurts can be more helpful than truth that flatters. Do you have people in your life that are willing to tell you the truth that hurts? Because the truth about you is you need to hear things that hurt. If we're going to grow, if we're going to change, we need to hear things that will hurt. How do we know? Because Jesus did that with Peter. Peter became this impactful New Testament, life-changing, world changer, because Jesus taught him the truth about who he was. And the truth was, his trust needed to be tested. The truth was, he needed to come face to face with things that hurt him. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 16, Peter took Jesus aside. This was when they were doing life together. Peter took him aside and began to reprimand him for saying such things. "Heaven forbid, Lord," he said. "This will never happen to you." Jesus turned to Peter and he said, "Get away from me, Satan. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view, not from God's." The truth is, if we want to know the truth about us, we have to come face to face from time to time with things that hurt. When Jesus said this to Peter, I imagine it hurt. I imagine it was painful. I imagine it was challenging and it was difficult for him to receive. But God in his wisdom is going to show us the truth about us. And he's going to do that by bringing people into our lives that are going to speak the truth in love to us. How well do we receive things that hurt when people say them? I said to you a few minutes ago, and I don't know if this is a good thing. Honestly, I don't know if this is a good thing or if this is not such a good thing for me. Most of what I hear about me from people are what I would call flattering things. And I don't think that they're saying them to flatter me. I think they're just saying those things. But I wonder if those are always the most beneficial things for me to hear. What about the things that people are going to say that, hey, do you know that this is the truth about you? Do you know that this is the truth about you? And they're not necessarily such easy things to hear. All the way through the Gospels, Jesus pointed out to Peter things that weren't so easy to hear. They were things that weren't so easy to hear, but it was because God was preparing him for his future. The truth about you and the truth about me is we don't always know the truth about us. So God is going to bring people into our lives that are going to say things that are not always flattering, but that are things that we need to hear. Today over at YWAM, I said some things to the students that I'd never said before. And I said them because I felt like I needed to say things that I'd never said before. And I've probably done that teaching 100 times. And after the teaching was over, I had one of the students come forward, and he was the biggest kid in the school. And he came forward, and he just began to sob. And he just began to weep because something was pointed out to him through whatever it was that I said that revealed the truth about him to himself in a way that he had never seen it before. And that's what Jesus is trying to do with Peter. And that's what Jesus, he loves us too much not to tell us the truth about us. And the truth about us is we don't always know all of the truth about us. So God is going to, from time to time, allow things that hurt so that they can help us. I asked this question on your outline. Am I quicker to see and pass judgment on others than I am to see and feel the painful truth about myself? Is it easier for me to pass judgment on other people, or because it's too painful for me to see the truth about myself? And I need to be honest about that. Do you think it's possible to live our lives deceived about the truth about ourselves? I think it's absolutely possible. If we don't have people in our lives that care about us enough and love us enough to tell us the truth about us, that sometimes is painful and sometimes is difficult, we can miss all kinds of things that God has for us. Number four, the truth about you is pressure is a good predictor of your performance. The truth about you is, because you don't know the truth about you, sometimes God will allow pressure situations to come in our lives so that we can discover the truth about ourselves. We will find ourselves face to face with things that we can't control on our own or things that we can't handle on our own, and it brings pressure, and it's a good predictor of what our performance is going to be. Here's a case where that happened with Peter in Matthew chapter 26. Peter declared, "Even if everyone else deserts you, I will never desert you." This is what Peter said. "I will never desert you." Jesus replied, "I tell you the truth, Peter. This very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times. Three times that you even know me." "No," Peter insisted. "Even if I have to die with you, I will never deny you." And all other disciples vowed the same. It was this very thing that Peter found himself doing. And when we read John chapter 20, he finds himself in the boat, face to face with the thoughts about himself. He had, in fact, denied Jesus. Did he go back to fishing because he couldn't handle it? Did he go back to fishing because he couldn't handle the pressure about what God had revealed to him? Why did Jesus reveal to Peter that he was going to deny him, not just one time, not just two times, but three times? Jesus was intentional about saying to Peter, "You're not just going to do it once or twice, but you're going to do it three times." That was a painful thing for Peter to hear. There are times that God allows us to hear painful things about ourselves, not because he's mad at us, not because he wants to push us down, but because he wants to build us up. There are times that we need to hear painful things, but we live in a society today where we don't want to hear painful things, or we want to push that away, and we just want to hear the feel-good things and the things that make us feel good and are going to pump us up. But 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 says that God wants to make sure that we are sanctified body, soul, and spirit. So that sanctification is a process of God's work in our mind, our emotions, and our will. And listen, if I'm weighing the scales, and we just got done with a series called Multipliers versus Diminishers, I am going to be intentional 99% of the time to try to speak positive things into people's lives. 99.9% of time, I'm going to try to speak positive things. But I would do people a disservice if I didn't say the hard things when I needed to say the hard things. And God says the hard things to Peter. Jesus says hard things to Peter. "Peter, you're going to deny me. Don't push me down like that, Jesus. Why would you say that? Why would you speak that over me? Why would you speak that negativity over me? It wasn't negativity. Jesus was trying to teach Peter that the truth about you is not necessarily known. The truth about you is that you don't always know the truth about you. See, God sees what's going on in the inside. God knows where the traps are. God knows where the things are that we're going to trip over in the future. God knows what the challenges are going to be in the future. So he speaks things to us now that are true about us, not because he wants to push us down, but because he wants to prepare us. What Jesus was doing with Peter was preparing him for the future. When Peter found himself in the boat, I believe this. I believe that Peter found himself going back to what was familiar. If the enemy can get us to go back to what was familiar, and he can get us to be in this place where we think that our life will not matter, or what we do is ineffective or insignificant, Peter was blown out of the water. Jesus died. His whole world blew up. He thought, it's over now. I've been following this guy for 3 years. He's gone. What am I going to do now? I'll just go back to what I know. But all along the way, Jesus was preparing Peter so that when the time came, he could jump from the boat. There are some of us in this room that are going through hard things right now so that we will jump from the boat and swim toward Jesus. Some of us have to jump from the boat. We've been in this boat of safety and security and familiarity, and we've gone back to what we know and what we know and what we know. Why? Because it's comfortable and it's easy and it's routine. But Jesus wasn't in the boat. Jesus was on the shore, and as soon as Peter knew that, he jumped from the boat and he started to swim toward Jesus. And I believe that he did that because Jesus pointed out these truths. And he put pressure on Peter intentionally. You're going to deny me, Peter. That was pressure. Peter probably, okay, no way. I'm not going to do it, Jesus. I'm not going to do it. He put what I would call maybe unintentional pressure on Peter. Don't tell me I'm going to do something negative, Jesus. And Jesus did it. Yeah, you're going to do something negative. But he did that with intention. Number five. The truth about you is, accountability is necessary to keep you from the trap of temptation. Accountability is necessary to keep you from the trap of temptation. We need accountabilities in our lives. Whatever that looks like, we need to be accountable because the truth about us is we don't always know the truth about us. I read in the paper. Not in the paper, didn't read the paper. I read online the other day about a pastor who was arrested for fraud. And you don't have to go very far in the paper, on the internet. You don't have to go very far to read about people that fall. Isn't that true? You don't have to go very far to read about people that fall. And I often wonder what their accountability strategy was. What their accountability structure was. And the truth about you is that accountability is necessary. In Mark chapter 14, almost the end of Jesus' life, according to Mark's gospel, here's what Jesus does. Jesus calls his disciples, those closest to him. He says, come up to the shore with me. And he says, stay here and pray. I've got to go up there and I've got to do some business with my Father. I want you to stay up here and I want you to pray. Here's what Jesus said. He returned to his disciples, and he found them sleeping. Simon, he said to Peter, why is he always picking Peter out? It's always, Jesus is always picking Peter out. Do you ever feel like Jesus is just picking you out? Do you ever feel like, Jesus, can you just chill out a little bit? Why do you have to keep pointing at me? Why do you have to keep pointing? It's always Peter. Here he is. Instead of calling some of the other disciples out, he says, Simon, he said to Peter, are you sleeping? Of course he was sleeping. His eyes were closed. He was snoozing, snoring, whatever he was doing. And then Jesus says this, could you not keep watch for 1 hour? Couldn't you keep watch for 1 hour? Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the body is weak. Every time Jesus had an opportunity, he put pressure on Peter. Here's another situation where he put pressure on Peter. Why did he put pressure on Peter? Because the truth about you is you don't always know the truth about you. And Jesus was trying to reveal some things to Peter because he knew Peter was going to be out there and Peter was going to make a difference. God sees us the very same way. God sees us as people who are out there going to make a difference. So he's going to be committed to telling us the truth about us. How do you handle the truth about you when it's pointed out to you? When it's pointed out to you by those closest to you, How do you handle that? When people tell you things that are true about you and it's not necessarily flattering, how do you handle that? Do you reject that? Do you push that away? Most of the time, Peter pushed it away. But most of the time, if not every time, it became true. God puts people in your life that are closest to you to help you see the truth about you that you don't necessarily see. And he does that not because he's trying to embarrass us. He does that because he sees us out there. He sees us out there accomplishing and doing things that he has in mind for us to do and being very intentional about preparing us now. It wasn't going to be enough for Peter to stay in the boat. Jesus had a plan for Peter, so he was preparing him before he got to that plan. So number 6 on your outline, I wrote this. The truth about you is, you need to fill that in. The truth about you is, what is the truth about you? What is the truth about you right now? Where are you at? What are you going through? What are your struggles? Where are you being successful? Where are you having difficulties? How truthful can you be with yourself where you're at right now? If you're having a hard time being truthful with yourself where you're at right now, invite somebody into that. Invite somebody into that so that they can help you see the truth about you. That's exactly what Jesus was doing with Peter. He was telling him the truth about him because he saw what he would be doing in the future. I saw a remarkable thing happen today. And I'm not telling you the numbers for the sake of the numbers, but 90-something percent of those students today, when we talked about monsters that live in the dark, here's the revelation that the Lord gave me several years ago. The battleground is in the mind. We all know that. Paul said that. We have to take every thought captive and we have to make it obedient to Christ. Because we're a three-part being, we're a body, soul, and spirit, the monsters that live in the dark often control our soul. They control how we think and how we feel. And as I begin to share today and as I begin to lay this out scripturally for the students, I begin to see the changes on their faces. I begin to see the tears and I begin to see them responding to what God was saying to them in the Word. And then I gave them an opportunity to respond and come forward and confront the monsters that lived in the dark. And when I say monsters that live in the dark, what I mean by that are things that have controlled their lives. And they can be anything from addictions. Some of them, it's addiction to pornography. Some of them, it's addiction to drugs. Some of them, it's addiction to alcohol. Some of them, it's addiction to lying. It's all kinds of things. And so when the truth is pointed out to them in the Word about what the Word says, when they see the truth, Jesus said, the weapons that we have are light and truth. Jesus said, I am the light of the world. Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. So the truth about you is that you don't know all the truth about you. So God will very intentionally bring you to situations and circumstances in your life where He'll allow you to come face to face with the truth. Sometimes it will be pressures. Sometimes it will be tests. Sometimes it will be people who come into your life and speak things into your life. You don't know where they came from, and they speak things into your life. Let me close with Acts chapter 4. I'm going to ask Brandon to come up here. Acts chapter 4. Verses 13 through 15. This is Peter after he jumps out of the boat and swims towards Jesus. He decides he's not going to stay in the boat. He decides he's not going to stay in the place of safety and security and stability, but he's going to leap from that and he's going to swim towards Jesus because he knew that he had an assignment from Jesus. And in Acts chapter 4, here's what was recorded about Peter and John. The members of the council were amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John. Here's Peter, who was in the boat feeling so bad about himself because he had denied Jesus. He swims to the shore, and the first thing Jesus does is reinstates him. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you, Lord. Peter, do you love me? Yes, I love you, Lord. 3 times. Peter, do you love me, Lord? Yes, I love you. Feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. All of those things, all of those tests, to teach Peter the truth about who he was to prepare him so that when he was reinstated, he could go out and do what Acts chapter 4 says. The council was amazed when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, for they could see that they were ordinary men with no special training in the Scriptures. They also recognized them as men who had been with Jesus. But since they could see the men who had been healed standing right there among them, there was nothing the council could do, so they ordered Peter and John out of the council chamber and conferred among themselves. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.